Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
Glory to God. All right, so this is the Building Church. We meet every Sunday, 8 a.m. and every Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. for amazing services. We have just one vision. If we change it, we will let you know. But we have not. So our vision is to build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life. We live a life of impact. So any person that is not saying that loud, that person is a first timer. So if when we are calling first timers, they should stand up. Alright, so I'm just joking, but I mean it. To build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life, to live a life of impact and societal transformation. So, what we do here is to make sure you are built. And one of the way we ensure that is that we have all three layers of your building: the building of the inner man, the building of the practical man, and the building of the outer man. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, Amplified Translation. He said that you will be strengthened and reinforced in your inner man by the Holy Ghost. So what it implies is that there is a strengthening, there is reinforcement that happens in your spirit. That inner man is your spirit. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 18:14, the Bible says that what he said, a man's spirit sustain him. He said, for a cross spirit, who can bear? A man's spirit sustain in infirmity. For a cross spirit, who can bear? Proverbs 18:14. And then Luke chapter 1 verse 80. He said, and the child grew and was strong in spirit. I remember I was saying that last week, and was strong in spirit, but they were using NIV translation. Actually, it's KJV that used and was strong in spirit. He said, and remained in the desert until he showing forth to Israel. What it implies is that no matter what you are going through now, if you are wasting strong in spirit, there will be a time of appearing. Yeah. So what we are building in you is we are building stamina, even your wilderness experience, so that when you appear, your practical man will be full like Daniel. What the practical man implies is that it builds confidence, it builds excellence, and then it builds expertise in you, that you are able to show up and you are able to talk like a solution that you are. And then in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible showed us, it says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. In check verse 15 of it, the Bible says, you are the light of the world. Then verse 16, he said, let your light so much shine before men that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father that is in heaven. And then in the book of Luke 12:15b, the Bible says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. That is what a man is defined by. It's not by what he have. It's not by him being light. It's by him shining. It's by men seeing what you are made of. So when we say that to build a people of balanced stature for Jesus, that is a destination. When you get to the destination, what do you not do at the destination? To live a life of impact and societal transformation. And this is, we actually coin it by our core values. Number one on our core value is spiritual growth. Number two is service and impact. Number three is what? Personal development. Number four is what? Honor. Number five is what? Excellence. Number six is what? Love work. Number seven is what? There's only one person that's talking now. I'm hearing savings. Savings what? Faith. And number eight is what? Family life. And number last is what? Societal transformation. The Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 20 verse 35, it says, I think verse C part of it. It says, as it was in the words of Jesus himself, he said, well, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that is why we have four foundational pillars. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Word of God. Number three, prayers. Number five, reaching out or giving. Number five, reaching out or giving. So a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession or on what he give out. On what you give us. Tell yourself, I give. I build myself in the inner man. I build myself for the practical man. And then what? I build myself for the outer man. That means I give out. Glory to God. So that is all that it encompasses about what we do and what we represent. So anytime you come for the building church meetings, you should not expect not to be built so you can build others. Are we on the same page? You expect to build, and the horizontal effect is so you can build others. Because any stream that refuses to flow, we begin to stink. When you begin to flow out, then you be discover. Hope you know that river, when it flows, it has purifying system around it. You'll be shocked that the pure water you say you are drinking somewhere is somebody's pool. It's somebody's pool. Somebody have weaving inside. But the purifying system keep purifying and keep purifying until it gets to you. And you're drinking it, you say it's the purest form of water. You see now? Because it is flowing. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, I flow. Then I say, you they flow. Pastor, flow, you flow. Mr. Oyin. All right, glory to God. All right, today I'm going to teach very briefly. Amen. On what I tie to, how to honor God with your substance. Well, I've been considering honor towards God. And then, you see, some of the things I've actually taught on honor, you can't give what you don't have. Some of the things I've taught on honor are things I practice. And today you are going to be tremendously blessed. I am the one telling you. I am too sure you'll be blessed. Last week we considered element of honor, right? So today we are going to be considering honor, how to honor God with your substance. Somebody say your substance. Say you get stuff, you have substance, honor God with your substance. All right. Okay, let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, and then Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6 to the end. And then I'm going to highlight four elements of honor. Four things that if any of them is lacking, is that the honor no day. Just they make noise. All right, please come read this together. Honor God with your give it to me in KJV. You see your words that is mentioned here. Hope you know words and riches are not the same. So when the Bible is saying honor God with your substance, that means that the thing must be wealthy. Substance that KJV used there. Look at what NIV said. NIV said, honor God with your wealth. How many of you have ever heard wealth of experience? Yes, that is one of your substance. When it says you honor God with your substance, it's not necessarily money. Because when this scripture was written, safe, that was when they were about to be, there was never money. When they were talking here like this, what they were exchanging was gold, was value. So honor God with your value. That is what it means. It's not money. It's not when you come to church and say, hey, me, I've given. Me, I can't go, but my money can go. Me, I can't go, but. It's like what we said, that you are trying to replace hydrogen because you are trying to replace hydrogen with something else. And the combination is not combining. It's just like I wear orange suit with indigo trouser. As I'm seeing now, some of you remember the orange, but you don't know indigo. Actually, indigo is any indie that go. Because I'm drinking water doesn't mean I will not say that I've left you. Praise God. God, they're in church. I love all of you. Glory to God. So when the Bible is saying substance here, what does substance mean? Wealth. Value. This person now is not giving me NIV again. No. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your substance. So how to honor God with your substance? He now highlighted some of the things. He said, with the first fruit of all your crops. And then went further again. And said, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vat will brim over with new wine. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 from verse 13, very quickly. From verse 13. What do I put my movie eat out? No, you say, my pastor is not fasting. Where are you fast now? Praise you, God. All right. He said, he will love you. He said, he will love you and bless you. This is one of my confession, actually. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He said, he will bless the fruit of your womb and the crop of your land, your grain, your new wine, and hoy. Wait. The reason why I asked them to give me this scripture is because you, are you a farmer? So in context now, is your gig, your UIUS, please see there, is your content, whatever. That is what he says is going to bless. So when he says you should honor God with your sewing, and let me say it to fashion designer, your sewing, and they say you should not say you are a tailor. Although we still know you are a tailor, but no problem. On LinkedIn, fashion designer. But in real life, a tailor. And everything is packaging now. See what you do. Say I export and import and whatever. Grammar, you know, can you do these things you have said? He say yes. So in nutshell, in a layman's term, what is the meaning? Say I'm a plumber. Because some of you have gone to go and copy somebody's LinkedIn and put it on your own. Then they now say, well, yeah, come and do what you want to do. You are not sweating. You say, ChatGPT, help me. Please, what is the meaning of coming and going? ChatGPT, I can't help you beyond the help you have provided yourself. So, what this scripture is saying, that talk about your crops, is not like, you now say, I'm supposed to be a farmer. You now go and crop. Then, before we know it, we came to church. Our bagwa udoluriota. He said, who brought you? Say you are the one that prayed that we should honor God with our crops. I discovered that I have not been honoring God because I don't have crops. Finally, I have crops to give the Lord. No. The crops that he's making reference to actually is the work of your hand. So let me help you guys. If you don't have work of hand, it may be difficult for you even to honor God. Yes, now go back to that scripture. He said, with your substance, with the fourth fruit of people's crops, your crops. And like my wife used to beautifully say, he says, it's not the rich that give, it's the committed. You're not the rich. If you have crops, if you have something that is yours, that means that the first thing God wants you to do is not to be lazy. Yes. Your crop here is talking about the end result of your labor. So, you are dishonorable to God if you are not laboring. Now say, please don't curse me, sir. I'm entering to the favor market. Let me show you something. Psalm 128, verse 2. But from verse 1, actually, he said, blessed is the man that feared the Lord. No, go back. Go. Yes. He said, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his way. Verse 2. He now said, you will eat the fruit of your labor. The first thing he make reference to is that there is something you are doing that you are going to eat from. Then after that, he now say, prosperities. Blessing and prosperity are yours. That is, what are you doing that God can sit upon? Now, I'm a student. Hey! Can do something as a student. You can do something as a student that can bring honor to God. I know students that are selling chin-chin. They are selling all manner of things. And they are selling it, and they have started learning how to honor God with it. It's only you that don't want to do anything except for shout amen. And then when the amen are declared as gather, you don't have bucket to gather the water. Not you. So honor God with what? With your substance. And your substance begins with your crop. Ask your neighbor, what is your crop? Yeah. You're not too young. If you can hear what I'm saying now, you're not too young to have crops. No, you are not. I send you a lawi every month. Yes. Can we stretch our hand towards the media? Next verse, please. He said, then your barns will fill to overflowing. He said, and your vat will brim over with new wine. Actually, that is your reality. Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6 to the end, very quickly. I don't know who is fast forwarding time again now in this place. So, God forgive you for the building church. He did not say amen. He said, we do not sin, sir. Alright, please, can you read it to me? A song. And don't forget, we say honor, how to honor God with your substance. Right? He said, a son honor his father. And a servant is... Now wait. Are you a son? I will later explain to you the context of why his father and master. Some of you have trained yourself to honor your master and dishonor your father. Your master can be your lecturer. That when he's teaching in school, your phone dare no ring. But when you come to church, you say, I'm in the house of my father. Then you are chatting. You went for an interview. You could not mess. This is how you are. They say, are you okay? Feel comfortable. Say, no. Don't allow me to be comfortable. I'm okay, sir. You see, you don't smile. See. When you went for an interview, they did like this. You went there. When you came to the house of your father, they did like this. Eh? So, there is the honor a son gives to his father. And then there is the master. Your father is not your master. Because most times we used to miss this. There was... May you pursue God correctly. He said, if I'm a father, where is the honor due to me? Now, if your own perception is that I'm a master, where is the respect due? See. He shifted from honor to respect for a master. And that's why the Bible did not say respect your fathers, your father and mother. You say honor. The reason why the Bible has to stress that you honor is because familiarity can come in a family. So God is not keeping you in check. Because sometimes when I check the Ten Commandments, I'm wondering that, God, is it that you don't have any other things to say? Why do you list these things like this? Like, it's like you are repeating yourself. Take for instance, when it comes to God, oh, you know, in the whole of Ten Commandments, it's as if God did not say anything. The first one he said in that Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, is that what? He said, you shall not have any other God except me. The second one also look like it. He said, you shall not create any idol for yourself. I'm like, God, idol and God, what? Like, why are you saying the same thing now? Look for something else. Must it be 10? If it's 5, give us 5. Yes, now. Look at the first one now. He said, you shall not have any other God. He said, you shall not have any other God before me. The second one, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Oluwa, okay, which one is idol? Which one is God? The thing was looking similar, but they are not the same. That's why if you look at it on the surface. And then when you wanted to start with relationship with, you know, say, honor your father and your mother, Oluwa, how does it concern you? You don't understand? Like, I was looking for some deep stuff, but they are deep. The reason why it's a commandment is that you should not forget it. Because there are things you can easily forget. Because there is a way you can leave a God, I have no other God except me, dimension, and enter into idol. You can be an idol. They are not the same. Gods and they are not the same. Because hope you know, a God is the spirit that runs the idol. Take for instance, this is a figurine. A deer. This is an idol because it was made. If for any reason we invoke a spirit to enter into this figurine, this stop being an idol, it becomes a god. God cannot be seen. Idols can be seen. That's why I say you can make yourself an idol. You can make your work an idol. And when it becomes an idol is that you are the one that created it. That is idol. You created it. Take for instance now. Imagine this one dropped from heaven now. God say, ah, this is the deer. As the deer panted. No. This is anything they create, they just invoke a spirit into it. And if you are not powering even enough, you went and carry it and say, David is it. David is it. That is the way your heart will do it like this, like this. So when God said, do not make an idol, you should not. He said, you shall not make for yourself an idol. That means that you are the one that make it. But when it comes to a God, it's a spirit that can be seen. So there are many things you also worship as gods that are not seen. One of it is fear. He's afraid. And that is why when God was talking about spirits, he said, I have not given the spirit of fear. It can be a God, you are afraid to take steps. Ha! You don't know you are God. He said, ye are God. How love you, the sons of the Most High. He said, for you shall die like meme. And Psalm 82. I think verse 5 and 6. And that and perish like one of these princes. He said, I have said. He said, but ye. He said. Let me celebrate him. He said, I say, ye are gods. When he said, you shall not have any other God except me. But the Bible is not saying, you are gods. You are sons of the Most High. That means that you are a spirit. I think in Hebrews 12 verse 7 or thereabout. He said, God is the Father of spirits. If I remember that scripture correctly. I think Hebrews, or 9. I think Hebrews 12 verse 9 or something like that. He said, God, and God is the Father of spirits. So what it implies is that he said, but you will die like Meme. You will fall like one of the other princes. Yes. I think yes, 12 verse 9. He said, and ye shall submit to the Father of our spirits. So a God is a spirit. An idol is created. Pride can be an idol. So when the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of timidity, it means that fear can be a God. It's make sure you don't dare anything. Dear God. It makes sure you don't. So when God is saying, honor your father and mother, he did not say you should respect them because he knows. He's trying to remind you that familiarity can set in. And so it's not as if God did not know what he wanted to say when he says you should honor your father and your mother. He's just reminding you. Just the same way, if you are not so careful, you can make yourself a God unto God. And then you can also make yourself an idol. Idol is made. It's made. You can even make your pastor an idol. Your pastor cannot be your God, but he can be an idol. Because idols are sin, spirits are not. Anything that is abstract that you can't see is a God. The ones that you create, which a spirit can enter into, like this figurine, is an idol. Oh, why am I even doing too much here? That is not my point. Carry me back. So, God is not saying that, okay, now, this is what I'm going to do. Because God used the physical things to explain the spiritual for us. He says, since when you have been showing respect for your masters, let me give you home training. Home training 101. He said, and yet you are using your mouth to say you honor me. Okay, this is what I will do for you. He said, if I am a father, where is the honor due to me? Okay, now, even if I'm a master, where is the respect due to me? The way you respect your lecturer, the way you respect your pastor in church, the way you do whatever, where is the one due to me, God? He now said that, says the Lord Almighty. Who is talking here, please? He said, it is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name, but you ask, how do you show contempt for your name very quickly before my time? He said, you place the five food on my altar, but you ask, how do we defy you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. Next verse, he said, now look at this carefully. He said, when you bring what? How many of you have ever brought animal to church before? None of you. When you bring torn money, you know, they've rejected it everywhere. Then I say, church, you are on my back. I'm buying church. You might have envelope. Once you want to build a bank, church might build a bank. Okay, now you are sending God on error now. Blind animals for sacrifice. The money you cannot give to your pastor, and when you open his ear, do you want a curse or blessing? The money you cannot give to your master, your lecturer, to to your boss. Your boss is marking birthday. Then you created a box and put, you know the way you did it, you do all this human worship now. It's only your God that say, "Hey, heaven the lady you. Ah, I'm going to change." Then you went outside because 500 in your, then you say, "Mama, say any change." You say, any change, I very, 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 very rank. You say, "Okay, ah, heaven me cook. I don't know how much they sell all these things now, but just imagine with me, I'm correct. 500. So they say your change is mainly 15 naira. Wait now. Just imagine with me. I say you imagine with me. I don't know the price, but imagine with me. Okay, quote is 500. And that is not like that kind of cook I'm talking about. Please, I'm talking about original cook that they say 150. So the cook is 150. The egg is 150. Then you now bought it 15 naira. How much are you on now? 350. The remaining how much to be 150. Then you now say, egg will come away. He said, "What is it? Egg?" He said, "Egg in your rope." Egg roll. Then they gave you egg roll. You collect egg roll. You are left with no egg roll. Wait, egg roll is 100 naira. Wait. I am the one creating the story, not you. So you are left with that much. Then you came back to this thing. Let me quickly help you. All those things will end up in the toilet. The Bible was saying in the book of Matthew, Matthew 6, from verse 20 actually. Yeah, is it Matthew 6, 20? He said, "Where moth and whatever do not stay." Yes, 20. He said, "But store for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." There's a consciousness. There's a consciousness. Go back to my Malachi. Kai. Malachi. Alright, he said, "Mr. TV, there is no way you know let her go out." He said, "When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled and diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor." Wait. He's now bringing comparison of honor in respect to father and respect in respect to master. Don't forget to. He said, respect father, honor father, respect master. He now said, try offering them. So when you come to church, please, always think about your masters that you can see. That thing you have packaged for God of heaven, go and offer it to your master first. Because Jesus, God is now comparing himself that, okay, no problem. He said, "Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you?" Wait! That means that from this honor that God is saying, the first intention of the honor is for you to be accepted. Then when you are accepted, then you will, he will now be pleased with you. Which was what happened in Matthew, Genesis 27. When, what his name was about to die, Jacob, Isaac. He called his sons. He said, come, which is Esau. He said, "Come, go and make venison." I think verse 3. He said, go, I'm about to die and the days of my whatever is close. He said, "Now go to the whatever and go and bring game for me, that my heart will marry and I will bless you. That my heart will marry and I will bless you." See, and I will give you my blessing. So one of the intentions of offering, number one, is for you to be accepted. Write it down. Number two is for the receiver to be pleased. I am bringing the offering. One, but that is not all. He said, "Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty." Next verse, because of my time. He said, now implore God to be gracious to us with such offering from your hands. We accept you. Can you see now? Acceptance again is being repeated. Will he accept you, say the Lord Almighty. Next verse. He said, oh, that's not that one of you will shut the temple doors and all of that. He said, I am not pleased with you, says the Lord. Can you see now? He said, and I will accept no offering from your hand. If the Lord has not accepted you and the Lord is not pleased with you, you cannot bribe him with sacrifice. It was Mike Murdoch who beautifully said. He said, the ungodly give gifts to utter decisions. He said, the godly give gifts to prove love. The ungodly give gifts to utter decisions. That is why in Nigeria, we have something we call bribe. Hope you know, bribe actually is to utter decisions. He said, we know they don't today. He said, come, officer, come. He said, we know they don't. No, call the officer of the law. He said, come now, come. And I said, He said, are you not complete? You're not complete. He said, oh yeah. Sergeant, clear road. Main pass. That means that a decision has been altered because of what you gave. So the ungodly, that is now, you are thinking God is a military officer in Africa that you want to bribe to alter decision. God will first have to accept you. Then, when you are accepted, he will be pleased with you. When he's pleased with you, before you now accept that offering you are giving. And let me quickly say this. This sermon I'm preaching actually is not for people that are not saved. Let me tell you quickly. You see, if you are not saved and you are giving offering in church, we have been using your money to buy diesel and it's not going anywhere. The first thing God will accept from your hand is your life before your substance. So do you not think that you will not hear what I'm not saying? I'm not even talking to you if you are not born again. You are wasting your offering. It's just like I'm not a learning student and I'm trying to pay school fees. You see, hope you know, as a student, if you not pay school fees, you will not write exam, Abi. No. It's the people that are students of God that I'm talking to. I'm not saying that, once you can pay school fees, just imagine I'm doing orientation for 100 level students and somebody that has not gotten admission also showed up. And then I say, once you can pay school fees, then you go to the register and there's somebody that does not have admission. When do you want to pay school fees? How will you even pay? When do you want to pay school fees? I say, so that is the requirement to be a student in learning, to pay school fees. Once I pay school fees, I have access to, then he went, pay school fees here. Then he clarify, whatever, they say, where's the admission letter? Your salvation is your admission letter. You can't give, let me tell you the truth. In fact, most times, especially for those of you that are not saved, we use your money to buy detergent for the toilet. So that the gen will not stop halfway. I'm just joking. But I would love to mean it if it's actually the truth. Say, I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. I will not accept no offering from your hands. Next verse. He said, my name will be great among the nations. He said, from the rising to the setting of the sun, in every place incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations. Now wait. That is why I say I want to show you elements of honor. What God is stressing here actually is not even the offering. He's stressing the weight of his name. That is, if you understand my name, you are not going to throw anything at me. You are going to give me with sense. But there's no way to stop. Says Lord, my next verse very quickly. He said, but you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled. Next verse. That's where I'm going. The first is the name. He said, and you say, what a burden. And you stiff it at, says the Lord, when you bring injured and all of that, I will not accept from next verse. He said, cause is the cheat. Who has an acceptable me? God is not going to ask you for what you don't have. He will ask you for what you want to keep. You have an acceptable me. God has informed you goodness. That you're going to show goodness to mercy. And that during her birthday, you have 7 suits. God now points to the one you are claiming said is the best. That is the one you should give mercy. Then you now give mercy 5 other suits that are not the one God points to. Many times we are always quick to forget that best suit is just a wrong ironing away from being spoiled. Wrong ironing that will drop map. No matter how you love that suit, if you are still sane, you will not wear it to church. But because most times we used to forget that anything we hold important to, it just needs something to go wrong for that thing to be invaluable again. That is, for the thing to be valueless rather. Because invaluable is a positive word. You know, it's not every in that is negative.
Are we on the same page? Please be seated, man.
So he said, the reason why I'm angry is that there is an acceptable me to pack his leg. You now brought the crippled one to me, your God. Ha! He said, but then sacrifice, can you see this? But then sacrifice a blemish animal. And that's why I said, God will not ask you for what you don't have. He asks you for the one you want to keep. I will say it again. God will not ask you for what you don't have. God will not ask you for what you don't have. It becomes unacceptable when there are better things at home and you are bringing the nonsense ones for God. You keep the better thing, now you keep the acceptable one at home, and then you are bringing a blemish one to the Lord. For I am a great king. Aha! That is another emphasis. The first is say, my name is great among the nations. The second is, I am a king. Now, do you know why he did not say he's a governor? Because governors are elected. Kings are born. No, you have to be in your DNA. You have to be in your DNA. But don't forget, it's not because there was no word governor. That's why he did not use it though. There was the word governor, but he did not use it. In fact, he has used governor earlier. Says the Lord Almighty, and by my name. And my name is to be feared among the nations. So, what God threw at them is his value. He said, you don't value me. You don't know me. See, there are 4 elements of honor that if any of them is lacking, especially when it's towards God, you have no honor. The first element is actually recognition. Recognition of who you are dealing with. When you bring offering to church, you should know that it is God you are bringing it to, not your pastor. And I will come to that shortly. Recognition. So it is not honor if you think that, this is not fair for me. Because the truth of the matter is, recognition is the wisdom to respond correctly to moments. They are being worshipped by an example is the woman with the issue of blood. As seen in Mark chapter 5 from verse 28. Time will not permit me to read it, but they can display it. And I wrote something here in my notes. I say every other person was pressing around Jesus. But the woman who recognized why she came, she was the only one that touched him. Jesus said, who touched me? They thought Jesus meant who is pressing around me. Every other person was pressing around him. Then Peter said, Father, everyone is pressing around you. Master, everyone is pressing around you. Why do you say who touched me? He said, this touch is a virtue left. Yeah. So there is a way your offering can touch the Lord, but it comes from recognition. She did not want to touch Peter. She touched Jesus. She knew who Jesus was. And she was so sure that, wherever it is that is happening in my life, we come to an end. So when you give to the Lord, is it truly the Lord you are giving to? Is it truly the Lord you are touching or you are pressing around the Lord? Because if I'm a father, where is the honor due to me? Is what God has asked us. Another thing it does is that it heightens perception. Recognition. It's heightened perception. Some of you are not writing, you are just meditating.
The essence of why I'm teaching point is so you can write off. It's item perception. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 11 to 15. 1 Kings. Please be a bit fast. Whoever is behind this projection. 1 Kings chapter 3. 11 to 15. He says, so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for the enemy and the whatever of your enemy. This was God speaking to him. Go to verse 15 because of my time. And then I have a word for somebody in that verse 15. All the promises God had for. Hope you know that Solomon becoming the wisest man that ever exists and the wealthiest that exists was told him in a dream. That's why I say recognition. Don't forget. Kuye. You now, God has told you in the third heaven. You heard it with the voice of the archangel trumpet. That you can never be small. But you did not recognize who said that. How can? Because it gave me concern that how can Solomon, all that happened to Solomon was told him in a dream. The wealth he had, the money he had, it was in a dream. He said, then Solomon awoke and realized it had been a dream. But he did not, you can check, if you get to, you can read that 11. All the things God is including the things you did not ask for. I will give you wealth. I will place honor upon your life. God said all of those things in a dream. And yet it came to pass in Solomon's life. Add much more of you that you had it in your ear. All deeply. And yet you did not, you have not been able to catalambano what God said. Because you do not understand the God that said it. In a dream. So, because when I was reading that scripture, I had to put an eye like on that. So that means that God didn't even speak directly to him. It was not as if he saw God talking to him like this. He just had a dream. Some of you, every good dream you've had are about to come to actualization. In a dream. He realized that it was a dream. And he did not in any way play down on the dream. Every other person was present around Jesus. I've said it already. But it was only a woman who recognized who Jesus was that touched Jesus. So if you come to honor, you have to recognize God as your father. You have to recognize that he placed a lot on his kingship and he placed a lot on his name. He placed a lot on his name. I say don't get used to or familiar with anything important. Familiarity keys manifestation. As seen in Mark chapter 6 from verse 1 to 6. In fact, when you read the verse 6 part of it, he said, and Jesus could not do. He said, and he was at, no, 5 and 6 rather. Go to, he said, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He said, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. Because they did not recognize him. If you read from verse 1 down, dishonor. Dishonor was what they were throwing at him. They were dishonoring him. He said, he's only in his hometown. That a prophet is without honor. He's only in his hometown. I said, read it down. This person has fly to verse 6. He's only in his hometown. That a person is without honor. That is the place I'm emphasizing. I think that's verse 3 or thereabout. Jesus, he said, he's only in his hometown and among his relatives. And in his own house, he's a prophet without honor. And because of that, the Bible said he could not do miracles there. He could not do miracles there. I'm praying for you that your recognition system will be heightened towards God. Number 2 on this thing is value. Number 3 is esteem. Number 4 is reward or giving. Because I wanted to use that to introduce why you are giving. That is how to honor God with your substance. Now, what is different between value and esteem? I'm going to give you this thing. Value actually is a sense. These are elements. The first element is recognition. Recognizing God as a king and recognizing that God placed weight on his name. Are we on the same page? The second one is value. That is, you cannot honor God if you don't have value to why you are honoring God. Now, this third one is esteem. And I will tell you the difference between value and esteem. And then the last one is not the reward or giving. Now, that is where honoring God with your substance now come on board. But we can't start by honoring God with your substance if you don't know the reason why you are doing it. So the first one that must be in your mind is that I recognize God as my king. I recognize him as my father. I give him honor, not respect. What I can't give to my masters, what you can't do to you, it's only in church you do it. You came with JBL loudspeaker phone. when service is ongoing. What you can't try in an interview. If your phone ring in an interview, you already lie down, you're apologizing. They say, stand up. You say, ah, please, emergency stand up. You can let me invite me. In the past 15 years, I've never gotten an invite for interview. He said, no, now stand up. But when it comes to God, your father, honor, hope, you know, is higher than respect. Some of you are there up and are respecting your masters. Some of you, if you see police, if you see soldier in a checkpoint where you are going, hope you know that you are not the one that will end the call. It's the fellow passengers that will slap you and say, ah, oh, you can't soldier one, but won't be called. If people can do that, it means that they have a recognition system that a soldier is outside. I am talking about the Lord of hosts. You cannot be called when a soldier is just checking points and is even a recruit soldier. You can't pick up. When you are picking call, other people that know the repercussion that will come with the effect of your call picking, they hope you know it's all of you that will suffer, including him. Because of that, they quickly caught his attention. But it's sad in my heart that even in a church, the people that are sitting with the person that is misbehaving don't even know God. They can't call him to order. He's watching football in church. And then you, he's following my brother. You too. They say, ah, Chessy Mulumba. I used to say, you have anger issue. You have anger issue. It's a lie. You have recognition issue. Any small thing, you and your wife are fighting, you quickly suffer. Go out. Let a small soldier, small one, let him tell you are a fool. Then you are going to tell the soldier, say, I'm not a fool, sir. You know, that thing will not come out. Inside your heart, you say, you say, are you thinking something? Say, no, sir. That is a soldier. I'm talking about the Lord of hosts. Physical things allow or understand spiritual stuffs. He said, if you cannot do it to your governor, honey, we accept you. If you cannot do it to your governor, honey, we will please with you. Some things you cannot try with a practicing lecturer. Don't forget, it's a practice lecturer. You carry, you export it to church. There's an honor due to God. Your governor is coming into a place you can't mess. These are your stuff. When it's God, you are making ching ching gum as if you are a massaging and masticating machine. Chua, 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 chua. And then the people that are also there do not know who God is. And they are looking at you. Say, we listen, we don't. This is not a judgment. This is that you are already judged. We are just trying to help you. Because take for instance, you are receiving call. When you get to the checkpoint, soldiers will not say, did you judge him before? All of you come out. Where? Frog jump. Now, what is value? Value is a deep sense of appreciation that acknowledges what? Value attracts virtue. Now, but that's not even the redefinition of value. Value actually refers to the intrinsic worth of something or someone. It is the deep, stable belief that a person is inherently worthy of respect, love, and belonging simply because they exist, not because of what they have done or not done. When you say you value something, is the respect, the deep, it's inherent. Inherently means that the person has not even done anything. God is a king. He has not shown you his kingship. You value him because of who he is, not because of what he has done to you. In fact, value is unconditional. Don't forget, and you can't value without recognition. You first have to recognize that this person I'm dealing with is a king. But the king has not even given you anything. But you are giving him the honor due to a king, not because he gave you anything yet. Esteem on the other hand is conditional. You are going to place value on the person based on performance. That is where most of you are on that table. You want God to do something tangible to your life. Maybe God gave you 1 million before you give your first offering. Esteem is one of the elements of honor. But there is value. Value means that you just, because of who you are is why I'm doing this, not because of what you have done for me. If I am a king, where is the honor due to me? You have not done anything for you, but yet you are coming to honor a king. Not because he did not allow you to die. The only time you give to God is when accidents want to happen and you are alive. You quickly want, you think God is, I almost said Nigerian police. You think God is one police somewhere. That you quickly want to pray and say, hey, Oluwa, hey, continue by you. And don't forget, I said, the ungodly give gifts to utter decisions. The godly give gifts because of love. Because of love. So value, it means that you are giving because of who the person is. Esteem, it means that you are giving because of the person's performance. Take for instance now. Hope you know there are places me and my wife have gone to minister severally. And because of our size, you just look at us. We are the people. These are the people. Other people honor us because the James. Why other people? Now, when they honor us because we have not even spoken anything, we have not said anything. They honor us. That is value. That means that the honor they are giving to us is because we are the James. But now, when you do not honor us, you do not do anything, then you wait for us to preach. And then after the preaching, and then my wife did that like this. And people are shaking like this. Then I will say, I celebrate grace. You are a liar. What happened to you is that you waited for esteem. You waited for us to do something worthy of you, of your honor, before you show honor to us. When it comes to God, God is an honorable God. He doesn't need to do anything to be honorable. When you recognize that, he said, hey, because I did not die, from now I'll be giving God. You are in esteem. That is the third level. The fourth level is recognition of the person of God. God said, I am a king. So much so that when God was entering a place, they said, lift up your head, O you gates. He said, who is that? He said, the king of glory. Lomo, he said, ha, ekeruin. King of glory, Timbo. Ha, ekeruin. He said, the Lord strong and mighty in battle. Mbo. He said, ha, ekeruin. He has not done anything for him to be God and worthy of value. He is just king by himself. If you have to wait for God to do something to honor him, you don't understand honor. You show up in church and say, others have HIV, I do not have HIV, I'm giving God $5,000. You don't understand God. Wait, that is a level of giving too. Don't forget, I say one of the elements is esteem. Esteem is performance based. And the danger of esteem is that it fluctuates. If the performance is not there, honor is not coming. That is, if God has not done anything, you say, that means that you do not understand. You have to stay at the level of recognition and the level of value. It is the level of recognition, the level of value, the level of esteem that will inform your reward you're giving. My time has gone. I wanted to give us instances before, but time with the Lord. But shall you understand the reward, Abby? Your elements. So let me fly because of my time. Let me just fly on how to give to God. I wrote a number of things here. I gave you biblical examples of people that gave in the Bible. Cain and Abel, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Solomon, David, the disciples, the widow. The widow. In Mark chapter 12 from verse 41. The widow. Then I said, what to give to God? Number one, yourself. And that's why I said, if you have not given yourself, you don't deceive God. Number two, your praise. Number three, your substance, which is where material things come on board. Number three, your substance. And your substance can be your tithe, your offering, your first fruit, your sacrificial giving. And then number four, your time. Now, how to give to God? Number one way to give to God is knowledgeably. You give to God with knowledge. Luke chapter 12 verse 21, Living Bible. Luke chapter 12 verse 21, very quickly, we call my time. I have just a few minutes left. He said, yes, every man is a fool who gets rich on heart, but he's not in heaven. With knowledge. Knowing fully well that it is God you are giving to Norma. If you come and give your offering, I'm touching you today. You have missed. Well, don't come with offering. Let me tell you the truth. They can accept your offering in any other place. Me, I'm telling you. If you are not saved, don't give offering. In this place, don't give tithe. Leave your tithe. Since when you have been giving tithe, we have not been running service now. It's your tithe you have been using to beg you. Don't give. You can't bribe God with your giving. I can't talk you into giving when you are not saved. You have not gotten admission. You say you want to do course 101, begin to look at course density. With knowledge. First, I want you to know that God accepts somebody that is already accepted in the beloved. So when you are giving with knowledge. And when you are giving with knowledge, you are giving to the one that saved you. That means he gave for you to be saved. And God did not give one of the angels. He gave his one only. That is the person we say you should do. And that is the way some of you react even to human beings. Somebody gave you 1 million to use 50,000 to buy amper or gift for him. You flash him to call you back. You say, you don't know what I want to do with the 1 million. You have forgotten that initially you don't even have the 1 million. You give with knowledge, knowledgeably. You know that you are rich towards God when you give. He said, every man is a fool who gets rich on earth, but not in heaven. In fact, a version say, I think NIV said, but he's not rich towards God. But he's not rich towards God. Yes. He said, this is how it will be with everyone who store up things for himself, but he's not rich towards God. So with knowledge, you know that every time you give, you are giving to God, not man, because he's your king. When time permits, I will have to teach on the mechanism of offering and tithe. That is what really happens when you give tithe. You can go and read Genesis chapter 15 from verse 1 to the end. It will help you. I think verse 13 or 15 or thereabout, the Bible says, after he put all the animals on the whatever, he said, then, when the sun was setting, he said, then the glory of the Lord pierced through the whatever. That means that the first thing that happened is that God worked in the offering before they even use it to go and buy diesel. You are not giving to church, is another thing I wrote. You are not giving to church. That's why you will miss it. Don't give. If you think you are giving to God, don't give. I'm not telling you, don't give. The church are giving to you are wasting your offering. You are wasting it. The first thing you need to know is that it's God you are giving to. That thing you have packaged that you want to give is God. Now, the second thing is that you give honorably, as was we've seen in Malachi already. The third thing is that you give intentionally. Please give me 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. After you have written give intentionally, open a bracket and say, plan your giving. Please, can we read this together now? He said, now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told what the Galatian churches to do. Are we not reading? Let's read now. Go back, please. I don't want all of us to read because this one, I are doing like this. I say, my offering. So I've been giving to buy this. God has not accepted it. Let's read this one now. Can we read together? He said, now about. That means that this is what Paul has been telling people in Galatians. Now read next verse. This is where we are stopping. He said, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Wait. This one is when you go to church, you remember that they will take offering. You are not intentional about your giving. But they spend the offering alone. And this is in the Bible. You see, I've been telling all the churches, don't just show up on the first day of every week, which is Sunday. This is the first day. On the first day of every week, each of you should get to set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. And that's why I say God will not ask you for what you don't have. He will ask you for the best of the animal you want to keep at home. Saving it up so that when I come, no collection will be made, we have to be made. Then I say, and let me talk to some of you that borrow offering. Yeah. Only 15 and I'm here. You see, say, yeah, that was Leo alone. You are not serious. I'm telling you. Naturally, you know your income. He said, according to your income, in keeping with your income. If they give you 20,000 from home, why does it mean that? Hope you know that. When how you know you are the second prodigal son is that you spend your money without planning. Once they send whatever to you, say, hey guys, who is hungry? Who is hungry? Who is hungry? Who is hungry? Let's go. You waste the money forgetting that there are 4 or 5 Sundays in a month. Oh, something just do you grab. Since when money is inside your hand, you gave 2,000 on the first Sunday. The last Sunday, you don't have anything to give. You are not serious. In keeping with your income, on an, if you don't know an average of the amount that comes into your account monthly, you are not serious with destiny yet. Monthly, you should be able to do account statement. Go and check your bank. Now, it's there in your app. It's not only to borrow from loan app that you should know. Check your account statement. Okay, I made 50,000. Boom, was it spent? Some of you will not know how rich you are until you check your spending. You are shocked that you have spent millions in space of whatever is here. You are the one that spent it. It's because Paul is saying here that you should be intentional about your money. He says set aside. What it means that anything that is not set aside, somebody cannot come and emergently say, hey, goodness, do you have 1-2 million that you are not using again? I say, I have. You see that? Set aside. There are some money I can't touch no matter what. One of these is my offering. I already know now. I know how much I want to be given. So plan intentionally. Your offering should not be fluctuating as if it's on its period. Moon suit, no back agreement. It's a sign of unseriousness. With destiny first, before with life. Set aside that which you have saved up and save it up. That's what he said. So if they are giving you 20,000, for example, and you know the expenses you are going to make, your offering should not be touched. Nobody is asking you to go and steal money to give to God. But it's a sign of honor that, oh, this money has come to my hand. I've removed my tithe. Oh, 20,000. See, how do you know? Ah, thanks. Fine. 20,000 has left. I will go to Guinea. I will go to whatever. I will go to whatever. Plus, because when we planned our own wedding with 4.5 million, then 2019, we'll plan our wedding. We don't discover how much we are going to do. We make the plan. Let me tell you guys now the truth of the matter. We make the plan. One of the plans is that my wife was going to be contributing 30,000 every month. Me, I'm going to be contributing 10,000 and on faith. My own 10,000 was on faith. So we now said, okay, this is the amount we will be able to make when the wedding comes. Then we now say, which other means can we get the money? He said, by gift. So we lift gift. We say, okay, people can give us money, can gift us money. The latter part of the money actually was on God. And when we knew that it was on God, we started praying every 6 a.m. And then one day God remembered and said, son, I say, sir, say that money you have been saving, bring it. Ah! Don't forget 30,000 and 10,000. That the other 10,000 was on faith. And the two of them now make mistake. They were putting it in my account. When God asked for it, I gave it on their behalf. That wedding happened, and there was nothing we wrote on that list that was not being fulfilled. Even now, 4.5 million is a lot of money. Don't talk about them. You are too wise. You don't plan. Unplanning is your plan. How do you give to God again? Number one. Number two. Number four. Intentionally, and I already said you write in the back, plan your giving. From now, you should not say, me, I don't know how much I give. I'm not saying I have it cheerfully. Not out of compulsion. Both say, you know, one day, that was Lawrence. You just smile and give, say, which smile what? He said, something is leaving me, say smile. Nothing matters with your Agbado. And you're doing house like this. No, cheerfully. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And then give willingly. And then give bountifully. You see that bountifully is my own advice to you. Because the Bible says, he who gives sparingly will reap sparingly. He said, he will give bountifully We reach bountifully. Then in Luke chapter 6 verse 38, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, shall men throw.
Time has gone. The last one I want to talk about,
is give proportionally. The last one is give sacrificially. Give sacrificially can be seen in 2 Samuel chapter 24. From verse 22 to 25, you can read that at home. But give proportionally, I just came across it and I think I need to bless you with it. Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 15 to 17. Deuteronomy. Very quickly. Give what? Proportionally. For those of you that are non-science students, actually, it's something they call Boyce Law and Charles Law. Boyce Law and Charles Law. Which one is give, inversely proportional? They are the one that say it too. I say Deuteronomy now, leave this place now. Who is this person? My time has gone now. People should learn to follow me. From verse 15. Deuteronomy 16 from verse 15. Please, oh, wait, after this service, come and see me. I'll be the one to lay hand on you. I think the prayer of this is known. What is happening now? Glory to God. Now, there's Charles Law, there's Boyce Law, right? What is Charles Law? What is Boyce Law? No problem. You will not understand, give proportionally that I'm talking about, if you don't understand one of these laws. There is Charles Law, there is Boyce Law. Charles Law and Boyce Law, it's one is directly proportional. What it means is that as this one is rising, is I think it's pressure against gas, Abby. Pressure against volume. God. Eh? For Boyce Law, Charles Law, volume against temperature. Car. Pastor me, you will marry next very soon. Please read it. All of you go out. Alright, glory to God. Please come back. I'm trying to save plenty of time because this thing I'm trying to compress like this. You're supposed to teach you on his own. Wait. 7 hours learning a treat. Don't miss it. Now, when I say give proportionally, it means that I'm talking about the law. I can't even is directly proportional. Because I don't trust you the way I do. Okay. I say don't talk. In some of you that will be telling your children that you came first in school until they find your result one day and see 12 over whatever. And look, there's something for those who understand science. Don't just leave the church law. Look at the church law now. For those of you that don't understand what I'm saying, is that when something is like an arrow, when something is climbing up, the other is also climbing with it. That is what directly proportional implies. That is, if there is 70% here, the other guy will also have 70%. That is the same thing as this thing is climbing. The other, two of them are climbing together. Are we on the same page? Now, give proportionally that I'm saying is that you cannot be giving when you are, you cannot be giving the amount you are giving as a student as when you are working. And it's not me that says it's actually in the Bible. Please let it read together. He said, for 7 days, celebrate the feast to what? The Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. He said, for the Lord your God will bless you. I think you will say amen. Your amen is sending on one leg. He said, for the Lord your God will in all your, and in all your, on all the work of your, and your joy will be. Now, next verse very quickly. He said, 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. He said, at the feast of unleavened bread, that's one of the things you do in a year. He said, at the feast of the week, that is another one. He said, and the feast of the tabernacles, that is the 3 times in a year he was making reference to. Sure, you get this, because now there are 3 times in a year, we're bunny. So, because these were the feasts they were doing. So, he now said, no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. No man. And that is why, when he started, go back, he was talking about the work of your hands. That means that he expect, and that's where, when I started, I say your substance, and one of your substance is your crops. You don't have any work of hand. You don't have any means of income. You need help. In fact, you need prayer. No, not prayer. You need study. So he does not say no man is permitted to come empty-handed. And don't forget, the way the man will not come empty-handed is that the man is intentional. Don't forget it. That a plan is given. Because there are already 3 feasts. God already said there are 3 feasts in the year, in the whole of the year. Then somebody now showed up and say, if your name is Mubagin, say, you don't have work of hand. That means you don't plan. You don't save up. There's no way you will not have something to give in the church. It's just that you are not planning. And if your life continues like that, there is issue. There is concern. That means that every money that is coming to you, you are spending it. You don't have saving. And if you don't have sickness, you are not saved. In fact, the Bible said that a fool eats everything he has. I'm not the one that said that. The Bible. A fool eats everything. Devour everything. Now look at this. No match for him. Now look at that verse 17. Say 17 now, whichever. Please, can you read this together? Each of you must bring a gift in what? Proportion. In proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. And that's why I'm saying it, say. I say a time is coming, say, when I will have to put token to be able to give offering. Because I expect that the Lord my God will have blessed me to that level. And if he has blessed, it's the way God is lifting me that I am also giving. You give proportionally. He said, give in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Some of you, the money you are giving as offering is an insult on your income. Every month you are getting 600,000. And the Lord your God, you are bringing 500 naira to him. The offering of a student. Because when me I was in secondary school, my offering used to be 200. By now, comparing that time to now, maybe it's 20,000. In proportion. You are not honoring God if the things, the blessing of the Lord is not proportional to the giving you are giving him. It's not an honor. It's in the Bible. This is where you don't believe our own projection. Go and read your own version. In proportion. In proportion to the way the Lord is an insult. Some of you, if I dress in a certain way, it will be an insult on the members of the church. He don't say, Pastor, what? See, if God has lifted him, why is he wearing this kind of thing to church? Can you believe? Hope you know, the way a man, the way parents feel happy about they are taking good care of their children, one of it is in the clothes. The way the child appears. There are some clothes when maybe sometimes because of oversight, maybe we have worn it for a lion, and she's going to say, ah, hey, remove it. It will be an insult on the blessing that the Lord has placed on us for our daughter to dress like that. Some things are insult. It's not honor on God. It's an insult. God knows how he has lifted you. You are not showing it as if he did not do anything for you. You are using another person's money to compare. Say students give 500, while lecturers give 2,000. But lecturers and students, you hope you know that there are some of you that are richer than your lecturers. The Bible did not say according to your age. Is according to the way the Lord has blessed them. Bless or bless. Father, we thank you for today. I want some of you to repent of the way you have been given to the Lord. And say, Father, I repent. I repent. Don't forget, it has to be what? With knowledge, knowledgeably, honorably, intentionally, cheerfully, willingly, bountifully, proportionally and sacrificially. Can you pray? Some of you have to repent. Why some of you have to go and replan? Some of you have to sit down and go and replan so that you will honor God with your substance. It's my prayer for you that God will first accept you and accept your offering. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is the Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at the Building Church behind Becadim, Tanke Okyodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at The Building Church. Stay blessed.